We're very grateful for this opportunity. I'd like to share with you a verse from Psalm 69, verse 29. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. And during the past several months, many of us are afflicted by COVID-19. And some of us are in pain. But we praise the Lord that his salvation will set us securely on high. So we look forward to hearing from our brothers and sisters on how the Lord has set them securely on high this morning. So we will sing together the hymn 274, Higher Ground. The refrain said, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's sing together. Father, we thank you this morning. We can come together in this way. Well, we do thank you that even during this difficult time, your presence is so obvious for all of us. We're so grateful that this morning we can have a sharing meeting through the sharing of the life of Christ. Lord, we can experience that we are really part of the same body. Therefore, we commit this time into your hands. We want to give you thanks in everything. Lord, we pray for all the brothers and sisters who will be sharing this morning. May the sharing will be an encouragement to the body. May the sharing will bring glory to our Lord Jesus. Lord, we this time. Lord, we do pray that you can lift us up all to a higher ground. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Brother and sister, we're so grateful this morning we can have a sharing meeting. And we have arranged in a way where each brothers or sister, when they start sharing, they will be unmuted by our brothers. And in the interest of time, we'd like to start the sharing right away. And the first sharing will be from our sister Zhang Ling.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Perhaps some brothers and sisters may know that I did contract COVID-19. It was in mid-March that I began to have a cough and wheeze, and I was unable to lie down at night. And so at that time, because of this infection, I was worried. And so I went to try to find a place to have myself tested. And so the doctors gave me a CT exam, and the results were poor. It showed that I had pleural effusion and that I had pericardial effusion, that is fluid around my heart. And then I also had a lung infection caused by the water pressure on the lungs. And so I was admitted to the hospital because of this pleural effusion. I was checked at this time to see if the fluid could be pumped out. But at that time, I discussed with the physician that it is possible that I had contracted the virus. And so he said that he would give me a full comprehensive exam, and at that time that I should be quarantined. And so at that time I was admitted into the hospital. And that time, that evening, I was tested. And the next day, they thought that perhaps they should take out the fluid, but because if I had the virus, they should not. And because I was tested positive, they were unable to pump the fluid out, and my blood was not able to pump throughout my body properly. So I was having heart failure. And so my heart function was very poor because my heart did not have enough energy to pump blood around my body. And the blood could not return back to my heart. And so the fluid in my lungs, I also had edema, that is a collection of fluid in my body. And so because of heart failure, my condition was very poor. But I thank God. I know that brothers and sisters were all praying for me. Brother Jack, on behalf of brothers and sisters, daily he would call to ask about my progress. He would take a look at the results of my examination and treatment, and also tell me the care and the concern of brothers and sisters. And some sisters would pray with me every day by phone. And at scheduled time, they would pray with me and ask God to give me peace and joy and also healing power. I thank the Lord. And so during my days in the hospital room, because I had the presence of God as well as the prayer support of brothers and sisters, even though I was quarantined, but I did not feel lonely or scared. I was full of peace and joy. And my appetite was also quite good. And my husband also told me that a lot of saints wanted to give me food. And I said, there was no need. I could eat everything that was provided me at the hospital. And at first, because I could not lay down completely flat, I could not sleep very well, but I slept a little bit here and there. But I really thank the Lord because I enjoyed the peace and the rest through the prayers of the saints, and also through the hand of the physicians, I was recovered. There were many physicians who were treating me, as well as my older son. They were like angels who were sent to me, because at that time, he also had helped some patients with the virus, and so every day he would connect with me by phone, and he would connect with the physician at that time. I really felt that the Lord was giving me his love and surrounding me with his love. So I'm full of joy and peace. I really thank the Lord. The sixth day, they tested me again, and I had a lot of and everything was much better, and then I was discharged from critical situation. It was his grace and mercy and protection that rescued me. And he still preserves my breath so that I can thank and praise him. Because he was crushed, we have peace. Because of his scourging, we are healed. Even though I am an unbecoming sinner, but he has given up his life and clothed me with robe of righteousness so that my sins would be forgiven. And now the power of healing is in God. I am still recovering, but I continually rely on him in faith. I look up to him and completely entrust myself to him because none of my benefits are outside of him, although my body and my heart are gradually declining, but God is the strength of my heart and my blessing forever. I'm also very grateful to all the brothers and sisters for their support and their help and love. Before and after my illness, I was given food, medicine, and daily necessities, and even monetary contributions. So I deeply feel the warmth of God's big family. I thank God, even though the epidemic is still raging. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I thank God. The next sharing is by Brother Cui Hao. Peace to you, brothers and sisters. My name is Cui Hao. Today I have a short testimony to share about my experience with the Lord in the past few months. In the past few months since the outbreak of the novel coronavirus, most people have worked from home, but I have to go into the company to work because I am considered essential. And so I have to go in personally. To be honest, when I first started, I was quite worried, especially when I saw a lot of news about the increasing number of deaths and saw a lot of news about severely ill patients. Because I still had to go into work, I prayed and asked the Lord to grant me peace from him so that I would no longer be afraid and worried. I really thank the Lord as he gave me this kind of peace. Since then, I have no longer been afraid, anxious, and worried. Then immediately came the trials. Before long, our company needed to stop production and have a big renovation. During this time, many workers had to come in to check, to work, and to repair machinery and pipelines. And so because a lot of people had to come in, many people were infected with the coronavirus. About 3 or 4 weeks later, about 90% of the people in my department were infected, and they had to self-isolate and had to recover at home. But thank the Lord, I was not infected. What I'm more grateful to the Lord is that even in such an extremely dangerous environment, I had no fear, worry, or anxiety at all, and I had peace in my heart. And I know from the depths of my heart that this kind of peace comes from the Lord. This peace is impossible to come from myself, because the most terrible thing is that I still had to continue to work. So to outsiders, this is simply crazy, or perhaps incredible. Other friends may say that the company is too inhumane and that I still had to continue to work if everything is so serious. And I have seen how others still worried and had great fear. For example, when most of my colleagues returned to work after 2 to 3 weeks, the environment was still very dangerous because the company no longer did any viral testing. As long as you had no symptoms for more than about 3 days, then you need to come directly back to work. And so it is possible that many people who still tested positive, they had to come back to work because they had no symptoms. Now, a colleague of mine was particularly fearful. To what extent was her panic? Every few minutes, she would sit in her place and disinfect her place. As long as somebody passed by her, she would spray her disinfectant. So she told me that she was very worried and very scared. How is it that without testing, you could come back to work? So when I saw her pack, I looked at my inner peace. I said, "Hallelujah, thank the Lord. This is what the Lord has done in my heart. It was truly amazing. If it were not for the peace that the Lord gave me, I might be just like her." And so as the Lord says, "I give you my peace. What I give is not like what the world gives." And so I thank the Lord. And so recently, after going through these things, I've been thinking about what kind of peace my peace is. I feel that my peace is not just saying that the Lord has protected me from being infected, but even if I was to be infected, I know it is the Lord still protecting me. Even if I were to die of illness, I know that the Lord is still protecting me. I think the Lord is letting me know that no matter what happens in the end, He is the one who's protecting me. As long as I trust Him, no matter what the result is, the Lord is the one who chooses for me. Since the Lord chooses for me, He will protect me. Since the Lord's choice is always and definitely better than my own choice. And so I've been thinking again, what kind of lesson does the Lord want me to learn from this type of experience? I think the Lord's lesson is for me to learn to fully pursue the Lord Himself. If I am after the Lord Himself, then I have to trust Him completely. No matter how dangerous the environment is, whether it is rough, if there are winds or waves, I am to totally believe in Him. No matter what happens to me, I need to believe in Him. This kind of peace comes when I stop pursuing other things, but pursue the Lord Himself. I think this is perhaps the Lord wants me to learn. I remember the lyrics in this hymn. And the lyrics say, "What we want before are blessings, but now what we want is the Lord Himself." And as I have been meditating, I do remember that the Lord has already told us that the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. This is from Psalm 16:4. In other words, those who do not pursue God Himself will have more sorrows. And so if our sorrows are increased, how can there be more peace? And so I ask the Lord to help me to not only learn this lesson well, but also to learn this lesson well in the future. So I thank the Lord. And I want to mutually encourage brothers and sisters. This is my sharing. Our next sharing is Brother Zhen Xiangying as well as Sister Rongying together. Thank you, everyone. Before we share, we'd like to look at the story of the Lord sending out 70 disciples in Luke 10. The Lord sent them out two by two to heal the sick and preach the gospel. The groups of two disciples were instructed, when you go on the road, do not bring staff and bag. Do not bring food and money. Do not bring two coats. Then the 70 came back happily and said, Lord, even the demons obeyed us because of your name. Our family has gone through a period of experience. We will combine our story and share it together. When my wife accepted a temporary job as a resident in Philadelphia in March 2018, we were in the midst of a dispute over whether the family should move or not. The reason for moving is obvious, and yet there were reasons for not moving. One is because it is not a permanent job. It is for 3 to 4 jobs, and the other is because of my job. I had spent more than 10 years working on this job, and I had not studied in the United States and have no professional skills. It's not easy to change jobs. So my wife went by herself in her first year, and I stayed here with 3 children. With 3 children, I still needed to work, and slowly I realized that I had to make a choice. I told the Lord privately, Lord, my family and I can afford to lose this job. Brothers and sisters should see that this was not my main request before the Lord, because I have set the direction already. It can be only counted as fellowship with the Lord or complaining to the Lord. Perhaps it was me that was confessing to the Lord. I'm willing to accept your testing and discipline. The Lord waited for me several years. He didn't let me give up the job. Starting from the fall of 2008, I started to move there in the summer of 2009. And so our sister now adds, the Lord was leading us in the process of finding a house for our family. Under his goodwill, he did not lead us to find a suitable house, but led us not to buy a house. The reason why we wanted to buy a house is because we could have chosen a better school district. Yet almost no one wants to rent a house to a family with a big dog. Because of the children, this dog must be with us. As for buying the house, we did 4 inspections before and after, but my husband did not have peace, so we did not purchase. This is what I'll add here. So we did 4 inspections because we were looking for different houses. And at the very last inspection, I still hadn't decided yet. It's not that the inspection had any major problems, but I had a certain understanding of the local housing market at that time. And the inspection report was about as expected. The agent and my wife urged me to make a decision. And I said to the Lord, Lord, do you not want me to have this house? And at that very moment, when I fellowshipped with the Lord, I suddenly had peace, so this house was not purchased. Later, we finally found a place to rent. A landlord was willing to rent to us. And so at this time, our attitude was perhaps, compared to the 70 disciples, similar to that. About 2 weeks after we moved there, our sister had this very interesting news. This hospital that I was working at had a history of more than 100 years. There had been rumors before that perhaps the hospital investor wanted to purchase that whole place, and so this hospital might close down. And so I later learned that the investor was mainly interested in the property of where the hospital is located. And so a lot of things had happened at that time. We had moved there. To our whole family, this was a great shocking news that I would lose my job. And so at that time, the investor just wanted the property. At that time, we didn't know that. But then from June to August, we were considering if we could come back to Houston. We were full of waiting, hope, and disappointment. It is possible my wife could stay there and go to other hospitals. We didn't really think about it much, But then perhaps we thought maybe she go to Boston or Chicago. She received official offers from these places, and these offers waited until my wife received the confirmed offer from Houston in early August. To briefly summarize the difficulties we encountered during that time, that the three children were about to start school, but we don't know where or which school. My wife needed to find a next home. Otherwise, her previous efforts will all be gone. We knew we were to move. Although we didn't know where to move, the house we rented must be subleased out before the local school starts. Otherwise, I had to pay an entire year's worth of rent. Of course, I also had work problems. During that period, we accepted the waiting lessons from the Lord. This period was from mid to late June to early August. It was not long in terms of time, but I felt that this period was very long. Like those 70 disciples, our family returned happily, even with some unopened boxes that we packed when we left Houston. I remember when I first returned to church, a sister said that my face was red and cheerful. I still remember which sister it was. I really had this joy, not just because we have returned to a familiar environment, but more because he gave us this kind of experience. We have this assurance that he is faithful. He has always been with us, and he is full of compassion. I think this is the reason why the 70 disciples came back with joy. It turned out that the Master was not only standing in front of them, but when the Master was not in front of them, as long as his name was called upon, the Master was with them in their hearts. Around us, we also saw many testimonies and also many wonderful rainbows all around us. Not only was that around us, but also inside of our hearts. In the current epidemic, compared with before, brothers and sisters may feel that things are very different. Honestly, it doesn't affect me much. Actually, I'm now a bit busier than when I brought the three children last year. Just like I said before, the Lord didn't allow me to give up my job physically. Compared with the 2 years after I moved back, he has given me much more grace at work. The epidemic did not have much impact on me, not because of any other reasons, but because we know he is with us. He went up on the cross for us. And since Satan has to retreat before him in his temple, then with what we are facing now, what else do we need to do? And not only that, the 70 disciples, when they returned back with great joy. And so it's not because of the demons. It's because our names are to be recorded in heaven. We thank the Lord.
Next will be from our third grade grade school. This summer, they have a program, and during the program, they give testimony. So we'll have five third grade students want to share their testimony to us. So they will do it one by one.
In this summer, we learned how to develop right attitudes. Under faith and believing God, you can have some of the following: generosity, thankfulness, self-control, patience, hope, joy. Selfishness versus unselfishness. Selfishness is to only think about yourself. Unselfishness is to think about others. Patient versus impatient. Being patient is to be able to wait. Being impatient is to be in a hurry and not be able to wait. Discouragement versus hope. Discouragement is to say discouraging words or do discouraging things. Hope is to have trust or believe in something. Pouting versus joy. Pouting is to complain that something's not fair. Joy is to be thankful and feel great pleasure and happiness. Example of pouting: feeling angry and upset about something. One of my experiences. One of my experiences is patient versus impatient, because once we ordered food and it took so long at first. I was impatient, but I calmed myself down by thinking about something else. A few minutes later, I was ready. When I waited, I was patient. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3:26. Thank you all for listening to me. Thank you, third grade teachers, for teaching us.
Complaining versus thankfulness. Complaining and thankfulness. Complaining is much easier to do than to be thankful, and you'll get a much better result if you be thankful instead of complaining. When you complain, you will probably not realize your complaint. A way to stop complaining is to be thankful or to be grateful. A way to be thankful is to think positive instead of thinking negative. Thinking negative will make you grumpier. Another way to avoid complaining is to talk to God or to read the Bible. The Bible is very important because it's like God's giving advice. Complaining. Here are a few examples of my complaining. Why do I have to play piano first? How come they get to watch TV but I don't? It's not fair. You're taking so long. Hurry up. Instead of thinking or saying these things, you should be thankful. These verses help me be more thankful. James 5:9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ezra 3:11. With praise and thankfulness, they sing to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Thankfulness. Instead of complaining, you can be thankful or grateful. Here are a few examples of mine. Instead of, why do I have so much homework? I'm never going to finish it all. I thank God for a family who cares about my education. Instead of, I always have to wash the dishes, I thank God by saying at least I have food to eat. Sometimes being thankful is difficult, but after a while, you will be thankful without even trying.
This is my Fruit of the Spirit project. Thankfulness. When my dad was going through his first and second chemo, so many people said us nice thoughts, and I'm thankful that these people care enough to notice our family. Impatience. I've always known myself as an impatient person, but I also think that I've been improving on it. For example, I've been working on a project lately. I seem to always mess up, but instead of getting mad at myself, I just try to calm down and try again. When COVID-19 was around, I wasn't able to go to the place me and my friend were planning to go, but my parents just taught me a new cooking recipe. I had a lot of fun, and I'm glad I did it with them. I think that this helped me a lot. S is for seek, T is for think, O is for overcome, and P is for praise.
Patient versus impatient by Tegan Liu. Am I a patient person? Well, it's kind of hard to answer. I'm sometimes patient, sometimes impatient. To be honest, I am a little impatient. When something goes faster, I sometimes hurry up. How do I help myself not do anything wrong or impatient? Every time I feel like I want to do something impatient or anything bad, I pray to God. I put my trust on God because I know He is always with me. For example, one day when I was doing math, I was confused on a question. I went to ask my mom for help. She heard me, but she didn't move. I got a little impatient, but then remembered to calm down. Trust in God. What does patient mean to me? Well, I think patient means a lot to me because if we don't have patience, it won't be easy for us to understand each other, like when we talk. Sometimes I fight with my brother and sister. We don't have patience to listen to each other. When we fight, the best way is for me to go to my room and take a deep breath and pray to God. Then I can understand what they are trying to say. Bible verses. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Patient with others, love. Patient with self is hope. Patient with God is faith. The end. Thank you, I'm done.
So my name is Andy. So today we're gonna share what we learned this summer. So my presentation is about impatient, and thankfulness and complaining. So as you can see, there's a kid that's mad and pouting because he's impatient because in our case, it's our mom takes a bunch of pictures. He says three, she takes like 20. So then when we were little, we couldn't handle this. We got super mad and then we would get punished and spanked. And but now we strive to be patient, and sometimes we still are impatient, but we always try to be impatient. On the left, there's a kid learning with his dad on the computer. There's always technical difficulties on computers, but they're patient and they got through it, and yet they're happy. Patient is peacefully waiting even though it's hard. It's hard because, but still, God wants us to do it. He wants us to put this into practice and have it in our heart. And impatient is when you don't have peace and you're in a big hurry. Thankfulness and complaining. The story is when our mom makes dumplings. Sometimes they get boiled and ratted out, and then they have holes, and then they aren't really that delicious anymore. But we still want to be thankful and not be complaining, because we should think positively and be thankful for what we have. And not be negative, but to be positive, and yet we still smile at her. Thankfulness will make them happy, and they will cook for, in our case, they will cook for you no matter what. They won't be tired. They will be happy to cook for you. And yeah, that is basically my presentation. I hope you liked it. I had a hard time trying to make it short. So yeah. Alright. Thank you for watching my presentation.
Alright. We thank you for our third graders. And next will be our middle school. We have two sharing. One is from Jason, followed by Jennifer. Oh, Jason, you go first.
A lot of people have told me to look for the good in every bad. But then I remember Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This year made the verse extremely important. The pandemic ruined the end of middle school, last summer, and also ruined my first year of high school. Having this pandemic so many bad things made it hard for me to remember that God worked out all things for good. But eventually I did. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I was able to see something good that outweighed all of the bad. That good thing was spending time with my family. In the era that we live in right now, technology isn't something we can avoid using daily. The technology is something that we spend so much time on, blinded us from seeing what mattered the most. The fact that we have time to spend with family is a lost treasure. Something that we've forgotten. Something very precious. But now that precious lost treasure has been dug up. All this time we've been so self-centered on our phones that the power of family has been forgotten. One example of spending time with my family was during table. Normally we would all wake up early and get ready for the table with the church at building one. But since the option of gathering as a whole wasn't available anymore, my family had to improvise. My mom would prepare the bread and the cup and I would prepare a worship song. We would sing it all together as a family with me playing the guitar. Then we asked for guidance for the next week and thanking him for the past. And this was what powered me through every single week. Experiencing something as amazing as this not does only come from the grace and mercy of our Father. Out of everything good that could have came out, the power of family was the least of my guesses, but yet it became the most important thing to me this year. It's sad how it takes something so big, like a pandemic, to wake me up from this technology sleep. But with the grace and mercy of our Lord, I've been forgiven for my ignorance and blindness. And now that high school is starting, I hope I don't lose this precious gift. It took me so long for me to realize it, and it would be a shame if I forgot about it so soon. So I challenge you all to always look for the good and the bad, and to always remember that God works out all things for the good, especially now. And if you're like me, you may get something meaningful and important from it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next one will be Jennifer.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I'm currently a freshman in high school. And today I wanted to share about my recent experience with transitioning into ninth grade online, and what I feel the Lord is trying to show me. As I'm sure most of you already know, COVID-19 has set back all of our lives, including affecting the way that we usually start school. Like I said before, I just entered ninth grade virtually, and I couldn't help but wonder about all the things that could go wrong with this form of learning. I had a ton of questions with nobody to ask them to. I didn't know if this whole learning at home was going to work out. And after all, high school is very different from junior high or elementary. I'm no superhero, and I definitely can't predict the future. So I hope you can begin to see why I might be so anxious and stressed out. Worry and exhaustion are pretty normal things that I know everyone probably experiences on a daily basis. So I wanted to share this verse with you. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This verse has been my favorite verse for quite some time. And it's so simple, yet so important and applicable to humans like ourselves. God knows every single thing that is going to happen to every one of us. He has a plan and purpose with our lives, and his timing is perfect. He loves us so much and wants each of us to draw close to him. But yet, at least for me, I find it so hard to constantly rely on him wholly. I used to think that I was a trusting and carefree person, but I can't even put something as simple as starting high school online into the hands of God, the Almighty. I'm only a teenager, and I constantly worry about naive things like if I'm going to get a certain task done for school or about the relationships in my life or whatever. And my first thought is always, what can I do and how do I solve this problem? But it's not really until I truly have nowhere and nobody else to turn to that I ask God for advice and guidance. If I had just gone to God first, everything would be so much clearer. Throughout our lives, we make so many decisions every single day and have no way of knowing for sure how they're going to impact us. Even though I know that this may feel like an elementary lesson that we are taught from the very beginning and are constantly reminded of, but it is truly so important for us to accept that we don't have to worry about the uncertainties of this life. We can completely cast all of our cares and burdens on the Lord, and he will carry them for us. He loves us with undying and unconditional love, so there's no reason for us to need to be stressed out about anything with him on our side. Thank you.
Sister Joy is now going to share. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord This is my sharing of how my parents came to know the Lord Jesus. My parents previously did not believe in the Lord. My parents have not gone to church before or even read the Bible. My mother in the past, she did come to accompany me to worship on Sunday sometimes, but this was something I was really worried about that they would not be used to. But I thank the Lord, my parents, Jeffrey, my husband, encouraged me to pray for them that they would come to know the Lord after they come to the U.S. So we brought them to church. At first, I was worried that they would not be used to it. But I thank the Lord that after they came the first time, they really liked the environment and atmosphere. They said that everybody really knows each other, cares, and greets each other. It felt warm and at home. So they wanted to come to church with us every Friday and Sunday. And my mother also said that it is good to attend Bible study, since it was difficult to understand and continue in reading the Bible by herself. And so after going to Bible study, through the explanation and guidance of brothers and sisters, they would now gradually come to understand, and they were more enthusiastic to read the Bible for themselves. And so I thank God, even for my father, he started, even though he didn't come all the time, but the few times that he went, I would say I was kind of anxious because I didn't think that my dad really had any thoughts in his heart about it. He would just come in body, but there was no change in him. But after I shared with Jeffrey, he told me not to worry, that this is not something that I shouldn't worry for. This is something that will happen in God's time frame. I should leave it in the Lord's hands. He will have his arrangements. And so I suddenly became cheerful and I had peace. And I would begin to pray more with more peace about my parents' salvation. And then my mom would tell me that Dad is starting to read the Bible. I had such great joy when I heard this. And then at home, when he would read out loud, and then Mom, she would do housework while listening. They have returned back to Shanghai, and I thank the Lord. They continue to do this. During this process of my parents getting to know the Lord, I have learned a lot. My personality is actually quite impatient. And oftentimes when my father was here in Houston, he would often say he did not want to go to church tomorrow. His back would hurt or something like that. And I would oftentimes be anxious with him, but I would learn to pray and to have wisdom and patience with my dad. And then indeed, my parents continued to go to church. And the Lord also healed my father's back because he was in pain at that time. And 2 weeks before he went back, because it was a time of the epidemic, we began to worry. And so we would pray, and we would have peace in our heart. Regarding going back to mainland China, it was truly God who led us. At the very beginning, their plane tickets were already canceled. At that time, we thought it was pretty smooth, but the week before, we realized that their connection in Taipei would be canceled. And so we called, and then the staff, they didn't even know what would happen either. And so on the way to the airport, we didn't know whether the plane would take off or not. At the point of check-in, we were told that this was the very last flight that would be able to fly into China. We thank the Lord. It was the Lord's grace that led them all the way back home safely. And after they went home, they would still attend Bible study every Friday night. And then they did come to believe in the Lord and accept the Lord. I was so full of joy and excitement. When they were here in the States, a lot of saints would ask them each week whether or not they would receive. At that time, they hesitated a lot. But that day, when a brother asked again, they did not hesitate at all, but they received. And so that again, this testified that in all things we need to be humble, have patience, to continue to pray and believe in the Lord. I really thank the Lord that the Lord has led them all the way. Every Friday night they come to Bible study, and Sunday, if they're not too tired, they would still watch the video for our Sunday meetings. So I hope today's sharing would encourage everybody that you would still share the gospel to your family and friends who are around you. Be patient. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I thank the Lord. Thank you. Next is elderly Sister Shu. I thank the Lord that I have this opportunity to witness in front of all my brothers and sisters the wonderful healing that God has performed on me and rescued me from the brink of death. God is really a God who does mighty acts. I thank the Lord that I could bear such a testimony before all of you. On the afternoon of June 4th this year, because I had a fever, I went to the emergency department of Southwest Memorial Hermann Hospital. And so I went, and after testing, immediately I was hospitalized since the testing came back positive for being diagnosed with COVID-19. So due to the lack of oxygen, I had to sleep in the prone position. In this position, it's very uncomfortable because my neck is twisted. But I really thank the Lord, for He allowed me, God allowed me to fall asleep quickly to the next day. And so the next day, there was a white-haired nurse who came to me and asked me, I remember very clearly, she had white hair, and she came to ask that if I wanted resuscitation or not, if I had to be admitted into the ICU. And so at that time, I told the nurse, I am 83 years old. I don't want any resuscitation. And I did not want to enter into the ICU. Please leave the ventilators for the young people, because I knew there was a shortage of ventilators. Later on, the next few days, I have no idea how I went through them. I seemed to be in a semi-comatose state, and I didn't know anything that was going on. Later, a sister told me that my body temperature reached 103 to 104 in those days, and it did not go down at all. The attending doctor said that it was a very dangerous time and that my family members should be prepared. I didn't know anything about it myself because I was asleep. And I slept all the way until Monday. And all of a sudden, I woke up. And they immediately transferred me to the negative pressure room. I was in the negative pressure room for 2 weeks. I remember clearly, the very first week, I was basically sleeping. And perhaps they would send me some food. I would wake up a little bit and eat a little bit. The whole week, I slept. The second week, I was awake for longer periods of time. And so gradually, my body temperature, my blood pressure, my pulse, my vitals gradually returned back to normal. So after these 2 weeks, they felt that I was doing much better, and so they transferred me back to the general rooms. And so after I went back to the regular hospital rooms, after a few days, I now could breathe on my own without oxygen. I really thank the Lord. And so I had completely left the condition of being in danger. Even though at that time I didn't know anything, I knew brothers and sisters at church, as well as some relatives in China, and some of the previous brothers and sisters were all praying for me. It is because God has heard everyone's prayers during this very dangerous time. The Lord had saved me. I had gone through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord has saved me out of this valley and now has given me a second life. So at Southwest Memorial Hermann, there was a sister who worked there. Every time she finished her work for the day, she would come and visit me. And sometimes she would bring me some fresh vegetables. Two times I remember very clearly, she had worked for 20 hours straight and still came to see me. All the way until July 2nd, when the hospital decided to transfer me to a rehab center in Pearland. It was called the Medical Resort at Pearland because I could breathe normally. And so they were going to transfer me to the rehab center. And so on the night of July 2nd, our sister, she got off her shift at 8 p.m. and came to visit me. And then the ambulance was going to pick me up at 10 o'clock, but she insisted on waiting with me until I got into the car. And so in my heart at that time, I was so greatly moved. From the time I got onto the ambulance, I had great moving in my heart that my sister would wait with me all the way until I had to get onto the ambulance. For all patients with COVID-19, I know that they are all very lonely because nobody can be with them because of the fear of infection. But here, in these three some weeks of being at the hospital, my sister, she had to work, but she would come and visit me. She would come and see me. These are all patients with COVID-19. We are all in such dangerous conditions, but she would still insist to come see me. This is such great love that only can be found in the Lord. Additionally, I also thank the Lord that after I was admitted, another sister was moved by the Lord to come and help us. Because here, we are ignorant of many hospital regulations. We don't know how to communicate with the hospital staff. And so this sister daily would come and call me or call my son and would ask about the conditions and the situation at the hospital. And if needed, she would communicate. And each time, the sister would pray with us. And so I really thank the Lord. God is omniscient. He's also omnipotent. He can prepare for us more than what we ask or think. After I was transferred to Pearland, because it was a rehab center, why was it the hospital wanted me to go there? It was because at that time, I still tested positive and my muscles had atrophy because I was in bed for a whole month, so I couldn't stand or walk. So the most important thing for me at that time to go to Pearland was to, again, enhance my immunity and, on the other hand, to also restore my physical strength. I wanted to walk before I could go home. I thank the Lord. While at the rehab center, I had a very good appetite. Sometimes, yes, the food tasted really bad, but I really, really thank the Lord. God gave me such a good appetite. Whether the food tasted good or not, I was so grateful. I had thanksgiving in my heart while I ate. I've kept telling myself, I need to eat more so that I could recover. I thank the Lord. It didn't matter what condition I was in, whether it was good or bad, I thank the Lord. So after I left Southwest Memorial, I had lost 6 pounds compared to my previous weight. But when I left Pearland, after 5 weeks, I gained 8 pounds. And so I really thank the Lord that I recovered very quickly. And also, because I had help from the physical therapist, I had help to walk around. I had to learn how to stand. I had to learn how to use a walker to walk. Until the very end, before I was discharged, I was able to walk without a walker. And I was able to walk well. And then I could return home. And I could live independently. So I really thank God. He gave me the very best time. His time arrangement was the very best. I really thank and praise the Lord. God not only healed me, but also allowed my energy to recover. Oftentimes, sisters would call me and they would say, "Your voice sounds strong." I really thank the Lord. This is entirely because of the mercy of God and His great power. This has been about 2 months' time, from the time I was ill until my time of healing. I really want to thank brothers and sisters who have urgently and fervently prayed for me, especially during the most dangerous times, until I have fully recovered. I know that so many brothers and sisters have been praying for me. I feel that in the church I am the most weak member. In the church, I have not had much service. Oftentimes, I am one who is receiving the great love and service of other brothers and sisters. I feel that I am unworthy of the great love and the great love of God and of brothers and sisters. I truly feel I am unworthy. But God does not see our ability, but it is His great love. I really hope that in His great love, may He add, doubly add, this love upon all my brothers and sisters. I hope that in the future, my family and I will come to know the Lord more, that we would love Him more, and that we would bear witness for Him more. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Next is Brother Jin Song and Sister Jennifer. This is my midterm exam. I want to take this opportunity to share with brothers and sisters what I have learned during this time. First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for taking advantage of this illness to make me realize how precious is time. If I'm going to see the Lord soon, how am I ready? Will my current time be counted by the Lord? I had a biopsy on May 26. When being pushed into the operating room, I couldn't help but feel a little nervous. It was the presence of the Lord, the prayer support of brothers and sisters, that was my very present help. It was also the watchful prayers of the brothers and sisters at that time that allowed me to truly experience the unexpected peace of prayer. Therefore, after the biopsy, I was very sorry that I could not contact the brothers and sisters in time and asked everyone to continue to pray for the pulmonary edema operation that was temporarily arranged for the day. But thank the Lord, our Lord does not slumber or sleep. On the first Sunday after my first chemo, my wife, Jennifer, prepared breakfast for me and went to work on other things. I looked at the breakfast on the table and the food brought by brothers and sisters from the previous night and listened to a hymn sent by a sister early in the morning. I ate breakfast with tears in my eyes that day. I am just a sinner saved by grace. How can I be worthy of brothers and sisters and worthy of the Lord's care? There was a voice in my heart during that time. Your kindness is better than life. On June 17th, I had a procedure to have an IR port put in. Maybe it was a response to the anesthetics, but on the 18th, I had headaches and nausea all day, and I couldn't sleep at night. I asked the Lord that I have been willing to accept this process, but what is the purpose of such temporary difficulties. At that time, the phrase came to me, "With the east wind, you break the ships of Tarshish." I submitted to the Lord and replied, "It is the Lord. May you be exalted." Then amazingly, I fell asleep. In these later days, it is often difficult to fall asleep because of the accumulation of fluid in my lungs. But whenever this happens, I'm learning to look up to the Lord alone and often fall asleep peacefully in fellowship with the Lord. Although the Lord has always embraced and supported us, it is inevitable that people will be weak, and the Lord's leading is also amazing. After my third round of chemo, my cough lasted for more than 2 weeks. In addition, when I drew close to the Lord, there was no new light. During those days, I felt very dry, and there was dryness in both my spirit and body. On the third Sunday morning after that chemo session, I felt weak, and I had to go back to the company to deal with some emergencies. At that time, I felt just as what David said, "I am a worm." I had some worries about the subsequent chemo sessions. After finishing work at the company and sitting down thinking about the upcoming chemo on Friday, the Lord allowed a verse to come to me again. "Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." Thank the Lord for His protection and leading along the way, and thank brothers and sisters for their love and support. I feel unworthy, but I still want to share with everyone. I dare not be defeated just at the set of sun when Jesus waits to whisper, "Well done, beloved, well done." Thank the Lord. It is difficult to condense my sharing in a few minutes, but Sister Jennifer now shares. I will try to be brief. The first point, what I have learned from God, is that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Through the sickness of my husband and this epidemic situation, God is allowing me to learn how to let go of my own ways, abilities, and reliance. Looking back, this is God's great mercy. When my husband was first diagnosed with lymphoma, I had an opportunity to have fellowship with a sister over a phone call. At that time, I had my own bias and prejudice, but the Lord reminded me throughout the process of this call that this was my pride. And the Lord arranged this to deal with me. We had about an hour's time of sharing. At that time, it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I had a lot to do at home, but the Lord gave me a quiet spirit. We ended having great fellowship and prayer, and it was full of His anointing. In the past, I had lost so many opportunities for grace, and I had relied on the Lord in the past, mixed with so many other things that I thought were beneficial to me, and my faith was not simple. But now I am learning that it is such a blessed thing to trust in the Lord. I am also learning that blessed are those who trust in God, who daily bears our burden. It is the Lord who bears us each day, not the servant who does the bearing. It is Him. In this matter, it is a very simple truth, and I should have known this when I was first saved. But I thank the Lord. He still gives me opportunity to learn. He gives me the opportunity to pray and ask Him for what I want. He is sovereign, and He can decide whether He's going to give it to me or not, and the end result. But at the same time, I thank Him. He guards my heart and mind. He allows me to still enter into fellowship with Him. This is His good will. He loves me and allows me to always learn to rely on Him. I thank Him that His words can be so true and real. And at this time, I also want to thank brothers and sisters for their love in the Lord. I have heard all of the sharings of our saints that have gone before us. I really thank the Lord that we can live in His love. the love of the brothers and sisters is like rain upon the mown grass. It is abundant and so rich. Many brothers and sisters have shared with me some Bible verses. They share food with us, as well as anti-cancerous food. And some brothers and sisters have also shared with us some of the process of their own healing and different ways, different treatment plans, and many pages of different drug papers. They explain to us so patiently. They are so thoughtful. And so I can't describe everybody's help one by one. I'm so thankful for everybody's prayers. I remember one time when my husband went for treatment, I was very sleepy at home. I wanted to take a break. I was already laying in bed. But then the Lord reminded me that some brothers and sisters were praying for us at this time. So I felt ashamed and immediately got up and knelt down to pray. The Lord was so faithful to me. He gave me strength and gave me the words I needed for that day. And so because of time, this is my sharing. But lastly, I just want to add one more thing, that our family's financial situation is stable and my husband can still go to work. Please do not worry, brothers and sisters. Please give to more needy families. We testify to the abundance of God's family and of His love and our love for one another. This is my sharing. Next is Sister Hua Jiang. Today, I want to share about attending Wednesday prayer meeting. Due to the epidemic this year, church started to gather online. And so in addition to attending Tuesday and Friday gatherings, if I want to meet with more brothers and sisters, it seems that I only have to participate in the Wednesday church prayer meeting. So I thank the Lord. What I saw was something I never could have imagined. When I first attended the meeting, I had a very deep impression as I saw the focus and the conscientious look on the faces of my brothers and sisters to a point of holiness. Because it's a face-to-face video on the internet, you can see everyone clearly. You can see their faces clearly. Many brothers and sisters, many whom I have never spoken to before, but it was like they were right in front of me. Secondly, while we were praying in groups, their caring and their smiling eyes really touched me. This great and deep acceptance really touched me. I have rarely participated in serving in church for so many years, and yet their tolerance and encouragement made me feel very heavy. I often think about asking for forgiveness for my sins from the Lord. But often, I can't even forgive with love the people around me or even my own family in small things. The third impression I have is that every time I pray, I always worry that my prayers would make a fool of myself and that I have nothing to pray, nothing to say. But I thank the Lord that every time I speak, every time I open my mouth, the words naturally pour out like springs of water. I thank the Lord. I know that is entirely from the Lord and not my own ability. the Lord is just borrowing my mouth. So every prayer is an experience of the Lord's presence. And nothing can be more valuable than that experience. I thank the Lord. If these observations and these impressions make me happy to come to prayer meeting every time, it's not completely true. In fact, my heart and myself are often very lazy. And sometimes there's various excuses in my heart to stop me from attending the meeting. But every time, there are two points of encouragement from the Lord that have allowed me to overcome these excuses and my own prejudices. And so these two encouragements are, first, I will never fully know what God has prepared for me, the grace that I need to see and to receive. Oftentimes it's a word from the Lord that could change my confusions into cheerfulness. Secondly, don't underestimate the function of participating in prayer because I don't know what God wants to do. So I'm often watchful and awed by the phrase that I don't know what I don't know. We have too many I don't know what I don't know before the Lord. Don't be easily sidelined by excuses or prejudices that you think you know and make judgments. Remember, in the message on Sunday at the beginning of January this year, Brother Philip asked everyone to pray in this new year to allow the fresh grace of the Lord to bring new things and new changes in us. He also said that we can ask the Lord to reveal new changes in us. So I pray to the Lord that excuses would not overcome me and let go of some of the knowledge that I thought I knew, as if these are the bondages that haunt me and hinder my acceptance and discernment of the Lord's grace. May the Lord allow us to renew ourselves every day. Finally, I want to quote Psalm 77 to encourage everyone. We thank the Lord. And lastly, Brother Wu Honggang and his son Victor. Brothers and sisters, hello. I thank the church for allowing us to have this time for us to fellowship. I first would like to thank brothers and sisters here for supporting my wife, Sister Yen, from last year till now. Brothers and sisters know that me and my son and I were baptized together on Easter, April 20th, 2014. After being baptized, I was completely conquered by the Lord's wonders through reading the Bible and participating in church activities. So from that time, I wanted my wife to also believe in the Lord Jesus. And so at the beginning, I began to pray quietly at home for her. Once when attending a Sunday prayer meeting at church, we prayed without mentioning any names. As time went by, I felt that the prayers of the church on Sunday were mainly to praise the Lord. So when I prayed on Sundays, I didn't specifically pray for her salvation. I only prayed silently at home. Apart from praying, I just told her why I believed in the Lord sometimes, and I didn't spend much time preaching the gospel to her. And so now it seems that this is my debt. The brothers and sisters all heard that my wife, when she was baptized, she shared why she recognized Jesus as her personal Savior when she shared her testimony. And yes, before Thanksgiving at the end of 2018, my son, Victor, persuaded her to go to church to meet. And so from that time on, which is from Thanksgiving on Fridays, she would attend Bible study. And so at the beginning, in the gospel group, she often had a lot of questions for the brothers and sisters. Gradually, I realized that she had fewer questions and would listen very attentively. Last year, because of a car accident, all the way to the point of being able to go back to work, in this process, brothers and sisters really contributed and supported her in different ways. And so now she completely believes in the Lord Jesus. For this, I thank and praise the Lord. And again, thank brothers and sisters for their selfless love for her and for our family. Now, before God, I will not speak any lies. My wife now has this disease. My faith has begun to be weak. I have a lot of crazy random thoughts. And so in the mornings when I get up, I often would lose focus when I read the Bible. And so I do want to tell brothers and sisters about how I feel right now. After my wife was baptized into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, my heart has slowly returned back to peace. Yes, we have the hope of eternal life, which is the key. With this hope of eternal life, we should have nothing to worry about. We should rise up and praise the Lord. My wife says she is a babe in Christ. I also feel that me and my son, we also need to strengthen our faith in Christ Jesus. And so for this reason, the desire of our family of three is to ask the Lord to heal my wife's illness and ask the Lord Jesus to be upon her, not only for physical health, but also for spiritual growth, so that our family can praise the Lord and serve the Lord more in the years to come. We hope brothers and sisters will continue to pray for my wife's physical recovery. We thank and praise the Lord. We give all the glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my sharing. Hello, brothers and sisters. Many people ought to know that my mother last year had an accident. And this year, she was also diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. My mother's car accident caused her own car to roll over the lower part of her body. And amazingly, it was over the lower part of her body and not the top part of her body. If the car had rolled over the top part of her body, she might have died at that time. And another matter was that at the beginning of our year, Brother Lawrence also fainted while taking a shower, was sent to the hospital, and he was also taken by the Lord. And so through all these examples and all the things that have happened among us, we see that our bodies are so fragile. Maybe we're still actively working today, but tomorrow we might have a heart attack and might die. So brothers and sisters, I do want to exhort everyone and share. Don't wait to believe in the Lord. Just like in the hymn that we sing often, "Be in time." To believe in the Lord is not for tomorrow or the day after, or to constantly say, "I will wait a little bit before I believe." But to believe in the Lord, I want to say, brothers and sisters, is for now. And so I will end with the hymn lyrics from Be in Time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time. This is my sharing.
We thank the Lord for all the sharing that we heard this morning. It's truly a wonderful time together to share the life of Christ on each one of our families. And our brother encourages us to be in time. And indeed, if Lord returns today and settles account with us, well, we hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Or we will hear, "You wicked and lazy servants." May the Lord encourage us to pursue him further, especially have urgency to preach the gospel to our family members and our friends. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning, and we can share together online and on what you have accomplished in our life. But we're truly grateful that you have placed us in your body, so we can encourage one another, we can pray for one another, even during this time. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful mercy and loving kindness on all of us. And we look forward for your leading, so that we can follow you every single day. We thank you that even though we do not know what will happen tomorrow, but we are confident that tomorrow is in your hands. Again, we give you thanks for what you have accomplished, and our hope and the strength, our joy is in you. We continue to pray for those who we have not seen for several months. We place them in the hands of our great shepherds. We give you honor and grace and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a few announcements today. The first announcement is we have a baptismal meeting yesterday for three young brothers and sisters, Liu Xiangying, Cao Kun, and Cao Qian. So three young brothers and sisters, they were baptized. Let's continue to pray for them, and also pray for the gospel outreach among around us. The second announcement is that we have been encouraging family to break the bread in their home. We're very encouraged to hear our young brothers' testimony this morning, how they broke the bread in their homes. But we do understand that some of you may want to join a larger a breaking of the bread meetings. So if you are interested in joining a larger online Zoom breaking of bread meeting, please contact our brother Jack Lee. Please contact brother Jack Lee. So we will have a online breaking of the bread meetings for those who desire to join with a slightly larger group of brothers and sisters. We continue to encourage family breaking bread together in your home. But if you like to be part of a larger group, please contact Brother Jack Lee. The third announcement is we really ask all of us to take that responsibility to shepherd our brothers and sisters. There are some brothers and sisters we have not seen for many months, and we ask each of us to look after them. If you realize there's a need and you cannot cover that need, please feel free to contact any brothers in your locations, or contact responsible brothers. Let's look after one another during this time. Also, we have a couple of prayer requests. We ask all of us to pray for our college freshmen, for their adjustments to this new environment. Especially, we pray that they would find a spiritual fellowship in the new locations. Secondly, we do ask you to remember our sister Yan Guizhi, for her chemotherapy and her appendicitis conditions, and also remember our brother Jin Song for his continued treatments. So this is our announcement, and we will continue to have children's ministry at 11. So may God bless every family, And we see you next time. Bye-bye.